Scripture reading this morning, first one is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Second reading is from Hosea chapter 6, first six verses. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I will cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth, and then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
There is this phrase, maybe you've heard it too, no strings attached. Maybe you've used it a time or two. It does sound like something a salesperson might say. Go ahead, try driving the new car. Just take it out, no strings attached. Or maybe from a real estate agent, please have a look around the house. See what you think. No strings attached. No expectations whatsoever. There's actually a 2011 movie by the same title about a couple of lifelong friends and their eventual fling, physical love only, no relational fighting, no jealousy, no expectations, just no strings attached. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a so-so rating of 49%, which is not so great. But it seems we live in a culture where, although love is a very common word, we do struggle to know what love looks like when it's on the ground, what love looks like. Last Sunday, as has been mentioned, we did take the time to do some unpacking of the word, that in the Bible language, like Greek, there's a separate word for what love looks like when it's erotic, separate word for what love looks like when it comes in the form of a family bond. And I had suggested to you that a couple of my sisters and my mother would be here this week, and if that you wanted to do some investigating research, you could ask them how often we say I love you to each other. That game is still on. There's a specific word in Greek when love has deep friendships in our lives. Those Greeks even had a set-aside word for when love seems to come from beyond us. We love uncommonly. We also looked at the Greek or the Hebrew word ahava, which is a combo word. Love and action in combination. Action and love in combination with each other. You can't have love without giving in the Hebrew world. Last Sunday, we did word studies. She happened by the offices one day, maybe a month or so back, and sat quietly on the old pew down by the office entry doors. A woman needing some bridge money of assistance to help cover a rent misunderstanding with her landlord, a little help to get her family through to the next month. There was a certain weariness on her face as she began to tell me about her life as a single mom with 7 children and working her minimum wage job to supplement a Social Security benefit check. It's hard, she said, being careful with her Spanish inflection. My children all go to different schools. It's hard to keep track of everything all the time. It's hard. And as she sat on the old pew for a while, she began to look over and spotted the large painting that is hanging on the wall down there, the one with the sheep on it. And she began staring at it. Someone told me one time, she said, that we are like sheep and that God cares for all of us. Do you think that's true? She said to me. She went on, I went to a church in town a few times, and the music there was very calming to me in my world. But she said, my children are very busy and noisy and do not sit still, and I am there all by myself, and so I don't go anymore. It's too hard to go to church with 7 children by yourself. So do you think it's true, she asked, that we are like sheep and that God cares for each one of us, like I heard. And there was a searching in her voice, and I said, I think so. And she smiled just a wee tiny bit, a smile that seemed to have holy hope attached to it. I walk by that picture 5 days a week, some weeks. It hangs there all the time, but I rarely see it anymore. But she did. She saw it. She perhaps needed to see the sheep and that God's love still has a string attached to it. Our beginning scripture lesson that we just heard read by Ray this morning was from a book that we call Deuteronomy, and maybe a scripture that we can also, and maybe a scripture can also behave the same way that a picture does. How we see things in scripture depends on our location in life. It may be hard to imagine the love of God when one is beat down in a foreign country of plenty, whether it be the United States or whether it be ancient Egypt. It may be hard to imagine the love of God when life is an uphill climb, when it's one step forward and 9 steps back. The woman in the office left through the doors with her thanks that day, but I wonder how she'd hear these words from Deuteronomy if she got beyond the music and heard this in her church. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all people. That the Lord is kind. He sets his heart and chooses from the least, not from the mostest, but from the leastest. It was because the Lord loved you, the scripture says. And so how far does the love of God reach? Have any of you ever heard of attachment theory? It's a kind of technical term, and if you haven't heard the term, that's quite okay. You've probably seen it in action. We've seen attachments play out. Parent to infant child is the easiest to spot, how an infant will bond most closely to the care of its first caregivers for protection and emotional support. There is a love string that is attached between them. And we also know that it's terribly tragic if that bond is never there. Joyce happens to be one of Caleb and Olivia's primary caregivers, the grandmother one, and she now has Olivia for 3 hours or 4 on Tuesday mornings in the office area. And I get to hear them. They will play together. They will eat snacks together. They will water plants together. They will watch trains together. They will cavort in the halls together. I hear them, but if I step outside my office door into Olivia's notice, she will do this kind of sideways sidestep towards the safety of Joyce. She will smile when I say hello in the morning, but then will soon start looking for Joyce's proximity, for protection and emotional support. It's all quite natural. The laboratory word for observing all this is attachment theory. Who one is connected to, it might be the storge love that we talked about last week, the bond between parent and family love, and it is oh so important for our well-being, the blending of love and action that grow it. It is like there is a love string connection. You might think that we would outgrow them, these strings of attachment to our parents, but it's unlikely that we ever do completely. On Wednesday, there came this buzz on the office doors. 2 young boys happened by on their bikes with a story, which may or may not have been entirely true. I don't know, but they had ridden their way up from Greencastle, gotten tired, stopped in, asked for a ride the rest of the way back into Big Lots in Chambersburg. And I do have a green pickup truck, so I agreed to do it. They tossed their bikes in the back, strapped on their seatbelts, and away we went for an 8-minute ride into town. But in that short a time, I got a boatload of information about their parents, of all things. They had the same mother, but different fathers, and their dad was a welder who made $14 an hour. Their mom worked at Walmart and made $8 an hour, which again may or may not be entirely true. Who knows? But from what they said, their moms must have forgotten her phone when she went to work and didn't catch the message that from the school that they needed to get, and so now they were on borrowed bikes trying to make it back home. And they said that their grandmother had some connection to this church years ago, which was the reason they stopped by this door in the first place. A distant connection, a generational one. And it was interesting that after they unloaded their bikes at Big Lots and darted off to home, to realize how much of that 8-minute ride and conversation was about their parents and their grandmother and their football coach. Their important connections to life came through people, what the Greeks called storge or phileia, and how important those bonds are for our well-being and our good, which is important for any family that's nurturing children to know for sure that love can extend across generations like a string and a thread, but it is also good for any church to know in its practice of its programs how the strings of love really are attached and continue to grow. Now, all of this love strings talk could begin to sound as if it's taking place in the world of Pollyanna, Leave It to Beaver on television, the stuff of Hallmark movies, if you like them, which is just a little too good to be true, or like a Thomas Kinkade painting, just a little too perfect. This morning we heard a reading from the book of Hosea, and very often Hosea is listed as a minor prophet, probably because the book is so short, 14 pages in my paper Bible, but if Hosea is a minor prophet, he does something majorly. Does something very strange, very daring, kind of show and tell. Now, if you're attuned to how prophets have operated, you know that they are a different sort of folk. They are an odd lot. They are the kind of person like John the Baptist who would go around wearing camel hair clothes and eat strange things like locusts dipped in honey for lunch. The kind of persons you kind of had to keep your eye on, because they do strange things, and they were connected to God, strange things, which could be tricky. And if you saw them acting strangely, you had to figure out exactly what God thing they were doing and why. Remember when we've covered this before here, remember in the book of Ezekiel, a major prophet who began to cook his food over fecal material at the city gate to make a statement about impurities. Theirs. So yeah, prophets were a show-and-tell sort. You had to keep your eye on them. So here's another one, Hosea, another strange show-and-tell prophet. We read, "So the word of the Lord came to Hosea, and after hearing from the Lord, his first order of business was to go out and marry a floozy, a trollop, on a strumpet, a lady of the evening." And Hosea does that. Marries Gomer, who has 3 children from different fathers. Which is not exactly what you'd call a picture-perfect household. And then to top it off, she leaves Hosea in the lurch altogether, goes off away. And what must people be thinking? Those who are watching all of this unfold over time, can you imagine all of the talk around their town? You think Trickling Springs is a topic of local conversation around here? Imagine the buzz in Hosea's hometown. What was she thinking for marrying her in the first place? She is a runaround. Do you know none of those 3 children look exactly the same? What's up with that? Does he have any idea where she goes? Who is raising the kids? How are they going to turn out, do you think? It's so sad. Such a sad state of affairs. Literally, state of affairs. And then he takes her back publicly. It turns out that very often in the Bible there is a lot of drama going on. And the full colors of these Bible dramas are meant to tell us something. And we might ask, who would benefit most from hearing this Hosea and Gomer drama? Who might identify with Hosea and his life? Who might identify with Gomer and her struggles? Ever imagine why she is so lost? What had happened to her early on? Or do we identify with being a religious neighborhood watcher, a religious naysayer? Tsk, tsk, tsk. Remember the words we recited in our call to worship. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness across all generations. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever. Does that sound like love has ever been severed? What does God's steadfast love look like in a real life drama? Maybe our drama. And these words from Hosea we heard this morning are from chapter 6, the midway point of the book, at the recognition point of the book. At that same point, like the youngest son in Jesus' parable of the two lost sons, at the midway point, the place of recognition when shame and dread and remorse settle in and like hunger, they keep you up at night. That hinge point when you realize may have been your God ways, may have been far away. Hosea, out of his experience, writes, come. Let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us back up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come down to us like showers, like the spring rains that water the earth, which does sound quite a bit like the kind of love that is meant to heal. Love that may at times seem distant and far removed from us, but a love that invites a return, always invites a return, no matter the situation we find ourselves in, whether it be rent-strapped tired, or a brother from a different father, or a dysfunctional Hosea Gomer style relationship, or whatever our situation in life may be. To remember the love of the Lord is steadfast, and a love that holds a capacity for a return, a love that it will go out of its way to heal. We began this series by saying, love, what are we saying? Love in the Bible is a kind of one-string attached love, and thank God for that.